When we started CFC first 47 years ago, the Lord led us to study two passages of scripture, particularly right at the beginning, because we found that those were the two passages of scripture that were not sufficiently emphasized in the rest of Christendom. And even today I see those two passages are not sufficiently emphasized in much of Christendom, and yet they are fundamental passages for building the church and for living a godly life. The first was Luke chapter 14. And that is the conditions of discipleship. There were two great commissions that Jesus gave. One was going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16. And the other was in Matthew 28, where he said, go and make disciples. Preaching the gospel is one thing, making disciples is another thing. Preaching the gospel is, relatively speaking, much easier. You preach and say, okay, I've covered this area, everybody's heard the gospel. I go to another area, preach, everybody's heard the gospel. Like that, we can say we covered different parts of the world, they've all heard the gospel. Now it's up to them. If they don't accept Christ, they go to hell. But making disciples is a much more difficult task. Because you tell them that Christ died for their sins, and then you have to make them followers of Jesus Christ. That's a disciple. So the Matthew 28 commission is a step higher than the Mark 16 commission. So we realize that, and we realize that most of Christendom was interested in evangelism. We are all for that. You know, people have sometimes accused us in CFC saying, you guys are not interested in evangelism. I say, really? How did we get 7,000-8,000 believers in our churches if we didn't believe in evangelism? How did we get 2,000-3,000 from non-Christian backgrounds if we didn't believe in evangelism? How did we end up planting churches in two villages where for 2,000 years there was no church? We believed in evangelism, but we didn't stop there. We believed in making those believers into disciples. So, I believe we must preach the gospel. And even today, I seek to say, Lord, give me an opportunity to be a witness wherever I am. If I'm traveling somewhere or living somewhere, make me a witness. Maybe there's somebody who's needy. I want to be a witness. You know, sitting in a plane sometimes, we don't want to just start preaching the gospel to somebody to see, first of all, whether he's interested or not. So, one of the things you can do, which I do, open a Bible on that table in front of you in the plane. And if that guy is interested, he may start a conversation. I want to just make it known that I'm a Christian and I'm available. So I was sitting the other day in a plane and I had my phone in front of me and the Bible on the phone, and we sit close to each other in the plane. He can read what I'm reading on the phone. And I was reading the Bible on that phone for quite a while, and this guy sitting next to me found himself a bit uncomfortable, and he got up and exchanged seats with his wife in front, and his wife came and sat back there, and I was wondering what happened. I said, she was probably offended that the one sitting next to me was a Christian who was reading the Bible. Well, then I knew he was not interested. I left it. But I prayed for him. Whenever something like that happened, we pray for that person that somehow he will come to know the Lord. He's a lost soul. He needs salvation. So we started with Luke 14. And it's very important. Because at the end of this passage from Luke 14, 25 to 33, the three conditions of discipleship, very rarely emphasized, most people don't understand, it's fundamental, foundational. And everyone here must understand the three conditions. If you don't fulfill them, you're not a disciple. You're not a follower of Christ. And you can't be integrated into the church that Jesus is building. An intellectual faith, I believe that Christ died for my sins. And to mouth with our words, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. You never know whether something has happened or not. But if you're a disciple, you know for certain. So at the end of this passage on the three conditions of discipleship, mentions verses 25 to 33. He then compares it to salt, verse 34. Always read a verse in its context. Where did he speak about salt? He spoke about salt after speaking about discipleship. Verse 25 to 33 is discipleship, conditions. And then he said, that is how your salt will be good. And we all know that there can be salt which is tasteless, which looks like salt, but it's lost its taste. And then, of course, it's useless. You know how very little salt is enough to add taste to the food. You don't need a whole spoonful. Very little salt, and you can immediately make out there's salt here. And Jesus said it must be like that with us. Wherever we are, I felt like that in the years when I was in the Navy. Every person who worked with me must know that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And sometimes it would offend some of those non-Christian people or senior officers. And sometimes they would try to put me into difficult situations or give me a bad report because they hated Christianity. That's fine. But those are the instances in my life. I was only 23, 24 years old that made me a strong Christian. But it's very important. Wherever you are, my brother and sister, you must be like salt that has not lost its taste. People may not be converted, but they must know, once in my life, I came across a man who was a true Christian. He was not just namesake. There was something about him which was different. They must say that about you. All the people you work with, the people who know you well, your relatives whom you know very well, they must know this man, this woman is different. He's not that average run-of-the-mill type of Christian. He was different. We must be like salt which has got a taste about it. When people come in touch with us, hear us, talk to us, get to know us, they say, this guy is different from the average Christian I have met. I hope that will be true of every person in this church. Salt is good, but if it is tasteless, what does he say it is? What type of Christian is that? Verse 35, useless. Imagine Jesus using a word like that. You are a good-for-nothing, useless Christian if you have lost your taste. It's a strong word Jesus used in verse 35, useless. Useless, fit to be thrown out into the rubbish pile. Imagine Jesus saying that about a person who calls himself a Christian. You are good for nothing. You should not call yourself a Christian because you have lost the taste. People around you don't seem to see anything different about you. You crack the same dirty jokes they crack, and you laugh at the dirty jokes they talk about, and maybe you are unrighteous like they are, or some other way. Your interest is in the same worldly things that they are interested in. Jesus says you are useless. Where is the salt? Jesus used two pictures. The light, for example. That's another picture. He says, you're the light of the world. Light is something you can be immediately aware of. When you come into a room, you know whether there's light there or not. You walk into a dark room and you know there's no light here. It's like salt. Salt, you taste food, you immediately know whether there's salt. And that was the challenge that came to me. And particularly when I was surrounded by a whole lot of unbelievers in the place where I worked. I said, people must know over a period of time. I mean, they may not know the first day, but after having lived with me for a few weeks or so, they must know this guy is different. We met many Christians, but this guy is different. They must say that about you, my brothers and sisters. Because the world has met many types of Christians. But they must see that you're different. There's a taste about you. There's a light that comes when you come to the room. They stop cracking those dirty jokes when you come into that crowd. That's how it must be. So that's what it means to be salt.